Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Ripley's Believe It or Not department here at Car Talk Plaza. And our Believe It or Not entry for today is that Car Talk has now been on NPR for 30 years, which is about 29 years, 364 days, and 23 hours longer than any of us thought the show would last. Now, we know the most appropriate way to mark this anniversary would be with a heartfelt apology for all those hours that you wasted with us. But instead, this month we're looking back at some of our all-time favorite moments, and the theme for this week's show is relationships. You know, it didn't take long for us to figure out that just about every issue in human relationships somehow gets expressed through cars, including the first stage of a relationship, meeting that special someone. 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Chris in Colorado Springs.
Chris, yeah. What's up, man?
My question is about how to go about meeting women in traffic. You know, this can be a depressing time of year for us bachelors. And I was wondering if you had any good strategies.
Wow.
You know, short of having a head-on or playing bumper cars.
Well, in other words, how to get that female that you've spied through from your driver's seat?
Yeah.
To first of all notice you.
Yes.
And then to actually roll down her window. Why would anyone do that?
Why would any Chris? This is a challenge. Wait a minute! Don't give up, though.
No, I'm not giving up because I mean I tried this for years.
I mean,
is it appropriate at a stoplight to just get out of your car and leave it there and walk around to the passenger side and knock on the glass to get in?
No, you'll go to jail for that.
No, that's not good. I mean, this is going to be voluntary on her part. So either you have to have a car that she's interested in, for example, and I don't know how you're going to get her.
That's obviously why some guys go out and buy Ferrari Testarossas.
Testaronis.
Right, and that's obviously why, because it's the kind of a car that you think women will say, wow, what's that? And I have noticed.
Yeah.
In fact, this past summer I was driving a BMW Z3.
Yeah.
On the highway.
Yeah.
With the top down.
Yes.
And the wind blowing through my bald spot. But as I was, I mean, I got enough hair to almost fake it. I mean, this stuff was blowing around.
Yeah, yeah.
And a car full of young girls had been following me, I noticed, at a distance. They were in the left-hand lane.
Be still my heart.
I was in the right-hand lane. And this car full of young babes is following me.
Yeah.
Obviously wanting to check out not just the car.
But who
but
is driving
who's
that?
Behind the wheel? Boy, I'll tell you, never saw a 65 Dart move faster than when they pulled up next to me and found out who was driving. So there is the
they
car.
They were disappointed,
does,
you might
they
say.
They were. But they wanted to see the car, and when they saw the car and who was behind the wheel, boy, they zoomed off on that Dart, and they were gone. So the car, obviously, you can buy an interesting and expensive sports car.
Well, I'll liquidate my entire stock portfolio first thing tomorrow. No, the thing that got me thinking about this was the fact that cars are so damn reliable these days that there just aren't any damsels in distress, you know, to be saved with their cars broken down by the side of the road anymore.
Yeah, and nobody wants to be saved anyway because all they'd want you to do is call the police. Nobody, don't get out of your car. If you want to do me a favor, call the police on your cell phone. Or they have cell phones.
And you can't trust anybody, and that's part of the problem,
right,
too.
Well, Chris, I think the solution that I know that guys like Berman used for years, because he could never get any girls to talk to him, was a dog.
Oh, the puppy.
A puppy dog, especially.
Yeah.
It's got to be something. I mean, nothing is cuter. Yeah, I don't care if you're allergic.
Yeah, I don't like dogs.
I don't care.
And my cat doesn't like the car very much.
No, for, you know, cats are no good.
But see, that nothing, you're a cat person.
Nothing is cuter than a little golden retriever, furry golden retriever puppy.
Six
I mean, if you didn't
old.
Have women all over you.
Well, now, wait a second. I'm cuter than a golden retriever.
I don't think so.
Oh,
come on, will you?
No. No. Quasimodo could have a golden retriever puppy on the end of a leash.
Right. And Christy Brinkley would be beaten down the door to meet him.
Trust us.
I mean, you do have an interesting idea here, though, that, I mean, there's the positive side, the silver lining to a traffic jam is you could meet the love of your life if you only knew how to do it. So think about it. People.
So what do you use for, if you were to roll down the window, what would you say to an attractive female that's in the car next to you?
Yeah, what if you were lucky enough to get her to roll down her window?
Or better than that, she turned to you and smiled.
Oh! Uh-huh.
What would be your next step?
I know, his next line would be...
All of American men are dying to know this. What would you say next?
I would say my car would like to get together again with your car.
Bad.
And we're both invited.
Bad. The females in the group.
Okay.
Karen is giving two thumbs down.
Six. Six thumbs down.
Yeah, that's try up. Again. Try another one.
Okay.
There
you are. You're in traffic. You've been in traffic. You're going along.
Bumper to bumper.
The car
you catch
next
up
to you goes
her,
a couple
she
of,
catches up
exactly,
to you.
Exactly. Back and forth, back and forth.
And she just turns to you.
She turns to you.
And without any spoken words, she smiles.
Oh! And you and roll down your window.
And she rolls down hers.
She rolls down her window.
And you say what, Chris?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
I got it.
Well, I think Karen and Catherine agree that that's better than the first one.
Boy, I mean, this is a contest. I can see it. This is a contest.
Yeah.
We're going to have to run a worldwide...
Nationwide search.
What the heck would you do? And the other way around, too. I mean, what if you're a female? And the same thing happens. The guy turns around and he smiles. What would the female do? Floor it. Well, Chris, I don't know what the answer is, and obviously you don't either.
No, right.
But maybe we'll get some suggestions from people.
Well, that works good. But trust us, the puppy.
The puppy.
The puppy works.
Yeah. Well, you have raised a brilliant, I realize, a brilliant situation here of... How do you do this? I mean, how can you turn a traffic jam into something positive? And that's it. If you could, if we could find the answer to what do you say when she smiles?
Yeah. We certainly need people to write us with suggestions.
This is an issue that needs attention.
Chris, we want you to know we're here to help.
Oh, that really touched me.
We're with you, Chris.
Hey, Chris, thanks a lot for your call.
Hey, thank you.
See you later.
That's the question all America wants to know the answer to.
Interesting.
What do you say?
What do you say?
You've got one line, and it's going to be good.
It's going to be good.
Having your puppy jump up off the seat, put its paws on the windowsill, and wag its tail.
Well, we all agree that is without doubt a foolproof strategy.
Yeah.
We know that.
And her next line, her line would be, "Oh, what a beautiful doggy!"
And then even then, what do you say?
I just got him. Do you know anything about dogs?
He's peeing in my lap right now.
On my crushed Corinthian leather. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
I'm Ellen.
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 Yeah.
What part of the South are you from?
How could you tell?
How could I tell?
You just alienated all the Southerners now. Go ahead. You're on a roll, man.
I'd say Georgia.
No.
If I thought we had any listeners in Georgia, I would say
Huntsville,
Georgia.
Alabama.
No.
I give up.
Aberdeen, Mississippi.
Aberdeen. What's up, Ellen?
Well, my husband and I kind of have this ongoing dispute.
There are lots of husband and wife disputes, you know?
Yeah. Well, several months ago, my husband bought his dream car.
Yeah?
And it's a 1992 Ford Explorer.
Excellent!
So, he has been hesitant to let me drive it at times.
Uh-huh. Why?
And, well, the first time I took it out, I had a wreck. It was not my fault.
No.
But, nevertheless, it was a wreck.
Yeah, right.
You're serious? I mean, was it serious?
No, I was not hurt. The man was not hurt. So all of that was okay.
No, it was clearly your fault because you were driving.
It was not my fault.
Well, if you weren't driving, it wouldn't have happened.
Well, you know, that's true.
Because he wouldn't have driven where you drove.
That's true.
So, yeah.
Well, yes.
In his mind, even though it's not your fault in a legal sense, in his mind, that was your fault.
I hear what you're saying, and I agree, yes.
And he's right.
Yeah.
Well, so, the second time he let me drive it, I drove it to Tupelo, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. By the way, we just lost all the women listeners.
That's it. We might as well just shut down. Who's left? All right. All right, Ellen, get to the point.
Okay. I drove his vehicle to Tupelo to take my bike to get it fixed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm notorious for running out of gas, you know, and so I noticed on the
flaky,
way home.
Flaky, we call it. You're a little flaky.
Well, no.
Okay, so, take it back.
Yeah, not flaky.
No, forgetful.
But anyway,
yeah.
I stopped at the regular Texaco station I use all the time coming back from Tupelo and filled up the vehicle and took off, and the thing stopped, and I couldn't get it to run. I didn't know what was wrong, and I hiked up back to the Texaco, and I spoke to the woman behind the counter, and she said, "Well, is that a diesel you have?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Well, you just filled it up with diesel."
Oh!
And all of the men, and see, this was right at 4 o'clock, and one of these plants around Tupelo had just let out.
Yeah.
And it was loaded with these men. And they, and I said, "Oh, no, what does that mean?" And they all started laughing, you know. And I said, "Oh, God, my husband's going to kill me." They said, "He sure is."
Okay. And I don't blame them.
Yeah, well, so I said, "Well, what does that mean? What can we do right now?" They said, "Nothing." Oh. And so this one decent man said, "Look, have you ever ridden behind a truck being pulled by a chain?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, let me tell you, if you do okay, I'll drive you on home."
Oh, this is turning into a nightmare.
So he did pull me on the chain. He gave me all these hand signals. He told me I was nearly professional at this.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I came home without the car because he took me to the service station where I was going to have the thing drained.
Right.
And I had to tell my husband.
Oh, that must have been nasty, huh?
It was not a pretty scene. And so, you know, he has told me day after day after day after day that I have done some type of permanent forever damage to this vehicle of his, this dream car of his.
Yeah, wow.
I really hate the vehicle. I don't ever want to get near it again.
Oh, I don't blame you. I'd never get behind the wheel if I were you.
Yeah.
Ever again.
So our question is,
there's a question.
There is nothing wrong with this car. Harm was done to
you
this
did
car.
Have the, you had the tank drained.
Yes.
And they filled it with gasoline, started it up, and it now runs fine.
I think it runs fine. He says, "No, it doesn't."
Well, you know why? He wants to be able to hold a grudge forever. Because what you know, whatever happens to this thing from now until the end of time is going to be blamed on you.
Yeah.
So I think your only out here is a fire. I think you need to hire someone to torture.
You know, that is a possible solution.
I think that's the only solution because it has to disappear somehow.
It is true. I mean, when that vehicle has 110,000 miles on it and it throws a rod, he's going to say, "Ellen, remember back in 1994 when you filled it up with diesel?
Yeah.
That's what caused it." And you won't be able to deny it.
But no, see, I am denying it because y'all are telling me that I am right. Nothing's wrong with that car.
Yeah, but he's not going to listen.
Yeah, no, he's not going to listen to us. We're going to just lose him as a listener, too.
That's right.
So what? Are you going to lose your male listeners now?
Well, we've already lost all the male listeners, so our only hope is to agree with you, Ellen. Because all we have left is a few females.
Okay, I'll hang in there.
You're absolutely right. You did no damage to that vehicle, and anything he notices which isn't quite right, I'm having trouble.
Is your husband around?
Yeah.
Can we talk to him?
You want me to go get him?
Will he talk to us?
Oh, my God.
Wait, he's a male.
Is he in, like, the gun room or something?
I was trying to get in a room where it was quiet.
He isn't cleaning his gun, is he?
Oh, my gosh. Let me see.
Go get him, Ellen. Right. We'll never hear from her again.
They want to talk to you. He will not talk to you.
He won't.
That's right, because we've alienated all males. No, let's be honest. Let's be serious just for a moment. It is possible. There is some small chance that the diesel fuel, being crud to begin with, might have in fact clogged up injectors.
Right. It's only one step up from the primordial soup.
That's right. I mean, diesel fuel. It comes out of the ground, and just the way it comes out of the ground, they put it in the tank. So it is it is not as refined, so to speak, as we are. I mean, as gasoline is.
Right.
So it is possible that that your husband is indeed right. So I would get them to put some, to maybe clean the injectors, or even put some injector cleaner in the gas
tank. There are many
tank.
Additives on the market that will help to clean the injectors and make them work the way, get the spray pattern back to where it should be, and that'll help.
Okay.
But the more important issue was restoring your relationship here to where it was before you started all this.
Assuming it was all right. It must have been all right. He gave her the vehicle to drive. So he must have had some degree of trust.
Ellen, I don't know what your husband's problem is here. You sound like a very nice lady.
Oh, I think so.
I think you
and
are.
And that's the only thing that has saved your butt. Because you wrecked this guy's dream car. No, you didn't wreck it. I don't even want to use the word damage. Whatever has been done to it is easily fixable.
So all we have to get are those things to clean the injection system.
Right.
Is that right?
Fuel injector cleaner.
Fuel injector cleaner.
Right. You dump it in the gas tank a couple of times, maybe.
You mix it with a little diesel fuel. That helps, too.
And if that doesn't make him happier, then he can take it into the shop, and they can actually take the injectors out and clean them.
Okay.
I doubt that it will need that. Ellen, it has been a joy and pleasure talking to you.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
And tell him to keep smiling. It's only a car.
Yeah. And I'll keep listening.
Yeah. Okay.
Tell him to lighten up.
I can't speak for him, but I will.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Woo! He wouldn't even talk to us.
Yeah.
We're done for.
Okay, look, it's time to take a short break.
Right. I can see the gauge on your forehead. It's reading hot. So it must be time to add some coolant to you.
We'll be back in a minute.
Oh, here comes Status Quo. Black or shiny, bros, or many tells people what they think you are. I hate cars, enemy cars. Won't see love in your metal box, you might as well be from Mars. I hate cars.
And even though our kids petition the courts to change their names to something more innocuous like Corleone whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Jo explains the importance of creating a safe space for therapy.
I can't tell you how many times I've had clients that say that expression, like, I've never told that to anybody. That's when I know I've made some kind of momentous move with this person. They feel safe enough to expose that part of themselves, and doing that together with somebody else can be very powerful.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
Over this last year and a half, the world's been through a lot. So on this season of the StoryCorps podcast, we'll hear stories reminding us that even when times are hard, we can still begin again. Listen to our new season wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to celebrate 30 years of lousy car advice and lousy marital advice. You know, relationships is the theme of this week's show, and it's kind of odd that people have trusted us by asking us for relationship advice, especially since we provided so much evidence that mostly my brother, was not exactly what you'd call an enlightened spouse. And here's Exhibit A.
I've actually got mail.
Oh.
I've got some interesting mail. Would you like me to read it to you?
Sure.
Hey, come on. I listen to your stupid puzzlers every week. Okay.
Go ahead. Read us something.
This is a bunch of stuff. They ask kids various questions having to do with marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And they got answers from little kids. I mean, these are kids like 5 to 10 years old. And I'll read you just a few of them. Here's the question they asked. How do you decide who to marry? Alan, age 10, says, You've got to find somebody who likes the same stuff. Like if you like sports, she should like it that you like sports. And she should keep the chips and dip coming. How can a stranger tell if two people are married? This is good. Derek, age 8, says, you might have to guess based on whether they seem to be yelling at the same kids. What do most people do on a date? Lynette, age 8, says, dates are for having fun, and people should use them to get to know each other. Even boys have something to say if you listen long enough. And my favorite, how would you make a marriage work? Ricky, age 10. You should tell your wife that she looks pretty, even if she looks like a truck.
Okay.
I do that. Now, did I have to throw
that
in?
No, that was entirely
unnecessary.
Entirely unnecessary. It's a classic example of pushing something to the limit, right?
I don't know what
you
came.
You just couldn't keep your mouth shut.
I don't know what came over me.
If you'd like to call us with a question about your car or anything else or marital advice. My brother is pretty liberal with his marital advice.
Yeah.
The number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
A truck?
Oh! 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 Oh, no! My worst fears!
A truck?
My worst fears!
See? You never know.
That wasn't me.
Uh-huh.
That was Berman who sneaked into the studio and leaned over my shoulder.
And faked Tommy's voice.
And faked my voice. Hi, hon. Hi, hon. What's for dinner tonight? I guess not much.
You'll be lucky if you get a dog food the way you're going.
Will it be the wet or the dry stuff?
He likes the dry, Jane.
I'm really sick of the wet stuff.
Well, we'll see what we can scrape together. Don't expect too much.
Bye, hon.
Bye.
I guess I'll be seeing you from the garage.
Oh, yeah. You'll be waving to them from the garage. They'll be having a wonderful time without you. See, I keep telling you.
I hate you.
I keep telling you.
Well, see, my only hope, I know for a fact that she never listens to our show.
Yeah. Evidently, rarely. Once in a while, huh?
And everyone's, I mean, maybe, I know that many of her friends come to her and say,
I can't believe your husband said that about you.
And she keeps saying, what? What did he say? And then when her friends find out that she doesn't know, they say, oh, nothing.
Right.
So, but she's gotten the hint that she should be listening, and maybe that's why she was listening.
I think she'll probably be listening from now on.
She won't have to.
No,
she won't know me.
No. 1-888-CAR-TALK. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Fred from Hartford, but I'm telling you right now that's an alias because I got something so sensitive. If my wife ever heard it or someone told her about it, I'd be dead.
So your name is not Fred, and it's unlikely that you're even from Hartford.
You got it.
Okay.
Okay, that's good. So I'll put Fred in quotes.
Right.
And I'll put Hartford in quotes.
There you go.
Okay.
I've got a...
You describe this as very sensitive?
It's very sensitive.
Well, let's hear it. I can't wait.
This is a potential family issue.
Wait, and since you said that, I'm going to put sensitive in quotes, too.
All right.
I've got now 3 sets of quotes.
Okay.
Okay, Fred.
One more quote, and you'll have a gallon.
A couple years ago. Yeah. My friend bought a new car.
Wait, is it your real friend or just...
No, real friend.
Okay.
I won't give you names, but I'll tell you the real story.
Yeah.
My friend bought a new car, and he brought it over, and I looked at it, and I thought it was one of the ugliest things I'd ever seen. But you never tell anybody that, so I said, gee, that's a great-looking car you got there.
Oh.
And I went on and on how nice a car it was. Well, my wife was standing there watching me say this.
Uh-oh.
Cut to 2 years later, about a few months ago, the lease is up, and he decides to sell the car.
I thought you were going to say he decides to get married, and he brings his girlfriend over.
No.
And you say, that's quite a nice-looking girlfriend you got there. She looks just like the front of your car.
I could deal with that. That'd be easy to deal with. No, what happens was my wife says, oh, come on down to the garage. You know, I need some help moving something. And the car is there with a big bow on it, and she says, I know you liked it so much, I bought it for you.
That's what you get.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave.
Honest.
And so I now have this quandary.
Wow.
Do I suck it up like a big guy and just say, gee, that's thanks very much, which I've done so far? Or do I fess up to her the fact that I really don't like this car and that the fact you're probably going to make me drive it till it has 150,000 miles on it is just too much to bear?
Jeez. Fred, wow. Fred. I can't say that you don't deserve every bit of it.
Yeah. See, I mean, when you started to tell the story and you said that he brought the car over and you thought it was horribly ugly, and then you told us, but being a nice guy, you said to him, gee, what a nice looking car. I was going to say, there's no reason to say the opposite of what you think. You could have said nothing. Or you could have said good luck.
You could have said something neutral like, gee, I understand these are really good in snow.
I could have.
Yeah.
You could have.
But you opened your big mouth.
I did.
Yeah, your wife is, I'm sure, a wonderful woman. And the fact that you're about to try to deceive her again.
No, you can't do that.
You want us to figure out a scheme for you.
I mean, it's one thing to lie to your dear friend.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't lie to your own wife.
Yeah.
Trust me on this. You know why?
You think I ought to come clean and
they
tell
catch you
like
every
it.
Time.
Oh, yeah, they do catch you.
There's no way you can lie to
it. It may take time.
They always catch you. So you have to fess up to
all
your
right.
wife.
As your penance, my son, not only shall you tell the truth to your wife, but you shall drive this car for at least 2 years before you sell it.
I say
3 Our Fathers and 3 Hail Marys.
All right.
And make a novena. If you don't know how to make one, I can get the plans for you.
And I know where to get the lumber sheet.
Yeah, I think you jeez.
I just come clean on the whole thing, right?
I think you just got to, oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I think you have to come clean.
It's the only way. And you will feel an incredible lightness of being when this happens.
Or an incredible hit to the head.
Yeah, a dope slap may be in order.
I'll have to take it.
You are in it deep.
You would have buy a lot of flowers, Fred.
Yeah.
Well, I'll call you from the hospital after I tell her.
I mean, I am curious to know how you make out, because this would be an experience for us as well.
All right.
Because things like this could happen in our lives, and I would like to know how this advice we gave you works. I mean, she may turn around and dump you and run off with your friend.
On the other hand,
he's got a nice Lexus now.
Yeah, he's got a new car, right. Let us know how you like sleeping in the garage anyway.
I will.
See you, Fred.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
See that? Boy, I mean, he was just trying to be nice.
Boy, can you get yourself in trouble by not telling the truth?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this just the other day, and lots of times, you don't really tell a lie, but you don't really tell the truth either. And sometimes you do it just to be polite. I remember I was in the presence of someone the other day, and I can't remember who it was, but I'm sure he or she will remember and call me about it. And he or she said something that I really wasn't interested in at all. And I,
To
make conversation, I did the nodding and, oh, really? Oh, gee, that's interesting.
I nod off. That saved me.
Instead of saying, you know, I don't have the slightest amount of interest in what you're telling me. You do say things like, gee, that's really good. And then if they pick it up, oh, you really like it? Well, I can get you one, you know. And all of a sudden, you're in over your head.
Right, you say, no, I don't want you to trouble
no,
yourself.
No, I was just lying. I was just trying
and
to be polite.
And that's the time when you should tell the truth, when it gets to that first crossroad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should say, ah, I didn't mean it. I was just lying. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dolores with a D-O instead of a D-E.
Yes.
From Roanoke, Virginia.
Huh.
Yeah. And
hi, Dolores.
Hi. I have a nickname, Dodie, so you can call me Dodie if you like.
Dodie, you're only the second. Is that a common nickname for Dolores?
I don't think so. I know a couple girls who are Dorothy, and they call them Dodie, but there are very few of us Dodies around.
Oh.
Yeah, we call my brother Dodo.
That's great.
I love it.
So
what's up, Dodie?
What kind of a heap do you drive, Dodie?
Well, I'll tell you what. I drive a 1982 Fleetwood Cadillac.
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah. And it's my husband and I, we have his and hers Cadillacs, all right?
Yeah.
He's always, he has driven a Cadillac because he does a lot of traveling, and he thinks that's really great. You know, it's much comfortable.
So he's got the new one, and he gives you the old one.
That's right.
Nah. He's got the hand-me-downs.
So you have a hand-me-down Cadillac.
So it's really special, especially when I drive up to his office. I like to drive up and have both of those Fleetwoods sitting side by side. It kind of gives you a little special feeling. You know how it is?
Yes.
It does. I can see that.
Okay. Yeah. I wish I could find a matching 63 Dodge Dart for my wife. Then we could have this same joy and feeling of oneness as you and your husband obviously have.
I'm sure she'd be thrilled.
Well, it is a thrilling experience, and you should really try to help her with that.
I'm trying. I am.
Okay, well, this is our problem. It's almost turned into a family fight, and I thought you two guys would be neutral and at least tell us the truth about it. But this is what happens. When I'm riding with him, just as we pull up to a stoplight or a stop sign or whenever he's going to just stop momentarily, he shifts the gears. Puts it into neutral. And I say, why do you do that? And he says, well, it's much easier on the motor. It keeps pulling and pulling, you know. And I said, well, if you want to shift gears, why don't you buy a car with a gear shift? and he says, you can see that my car runs much better than yours, and that's the reason yours doesn't run as well as mine, because you don't do this.
Oh, Cadillac doesn't make a car with a gear shift.
No.
Actually, they did.
Now, is your husband...
Recently.
Did she tell us what line of work her husband is in? Is he either...
Does he wear white shoes ever?
He wears white shoes sometimes when he's just, you know, just casual, like at the beach.
Never during working hours.
No.
Is he in sales?
Exactly. He's a life insurance professional.
See, you can't help but put those white shoes on once in a while. There's probably some kind of dress code at the office that prevents him from wearing those white shoes, but as soon as he gets a chance, he slips into those babies.
And you know what? The other thing is that I just thought of when I'm driving with him, if it's so hot, this summer has been so hot, and he will not turn the air conditioner on till about 15 minutes into the drive when you're already having.
Oh, you know what his problem is?
I was not going to guess he was in life insurance. I was going to guess that he was either an accountant or an engineer.
Yeah.
And now this second little peculiarity that you describe
even
confirms further my idea that he was an engineer or an accountant.
Uh-huh. He has a degree in physics. Does that have anything to do with it?
See, you can't get away from it, you know? He has a degree in physics. My God.
That's right. And, you know, and I'm a musician, so I happen to be, you know, a little like in La La Land a lot of times. This is what he thinks, that I don't know anything about it.
Well, the two of you are the classic right brain versus left brain kind of people. And you are the creative right brain type,
yes.
And he is the linear
practical thinking,
left brain practical kind of guy.
Yes.
And I just, before we answer your question, I want to know, is this marriage otherwise on relatively solid ground?
Oh, just wonderful. In fact, about 42 years of it.
42 years. So you
love don't see him much, I guess, huh?
You love this. He's on the road a lot. You love this man.
I certainly do. I think he's the greatest, you know, and I don't argue with him. If he says black is white, I'll say, okay.
Good for you. Then you know what to do?
What?
Tell him that what he's doing is absolutely right.
Oh.
Now, even though it's all wrong.
You and us,
yes.
He's nuts.
Okay.
Throwing it in neutral does not take anything any load off the engine. It's not that it's pulling all the time.
Yeah.
Yes, it is, but the whole mechanism is designed to do exactly that. That's why it's called an automatic transmission.
And he's actually imposing more wear and tear on the drivetrain by constantly shifting out of drive into neutral and then back again.
But don't tell him this, because he probably has a very fragile ego.
Yes,
and to find out that you, a mere right-brained person, were right all these years, 42 years you've been telling him, Frank, don't throw it in neutral, you jerk. And he doesn't care.
Yeah.
So don't tell him. It won't sit well. And the business of the air conditioning, what is he waiting for the 15 minutes?
What he's waiting for is the temperature inside the passenger compartment to cool off so the air conditioner doesn't have to work as hard. The air conditioner doesn't care. It doesn't work any harder if it's hot in the car. It just works.
Yes. Now, I hope he's not listening, is he?
No, he isn't. He's in an insurance seminar today, and that's the reason this is why I chose to call you today.
Excellent.
Did he bring his golf clubs with him when he went to the seminar?
Of course, he's in life insurance. Well, he's absolutely wrong, but I think we should keep it between us.
All right.
Or among the three of us.
Great. We shall do that, and I think maybe that'll even get me to 50 years of...
Not only that, but it'll get you into heaven, because it's clear that you are an angel. To be able to sit there for 42 years while he's doing this and say, fine, if that's what you want to do, hon... That's fine by me. And now, knowing that you're right,
yes,
it's going to be even harder to keep your mouth shut.
But you'll know deep down inside that you're right, and you can take comfort with that,
Dodie.
That your place in heaven is assured. Thanks for calling, Dodie.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
You all are great. You make me happy every time I hear you.
And you made us happy, too.
Great.
See you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, it's time for us to take a little break.
Yeah, this is when Berman comes rushing into the studio with those reams of timely automotive research, the stuff that he's pulled off the web?
No, this is where he looks up from the homepage of cheerleaders of the Pac-10 and says, what, are we on the air?
Well, stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
She said, baby, I like to drive in the dark, and she drove me home in her old Dodge Dart. From that moment I knew we were never meant to be parted, but there's more to ignition than the gas and the spark. She said something was missing and it just wouldn't start. Now I'm never, never, ever gonna be the same again.
And even though Terry Gross picks up a waitstaff application at Chili's whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
Support for the Car Talk podcast and the following message come from TracFone Wireless, offering unlimited talk and text smartphone plans for as low as $20 a month with no contract. And with unlimited carryover data, you can keep what you don't use. All these benefits for a phone on America's largest and most dependable networks. Get high-quality smartphones at a great price. Learn more at TracFone.com. That's TracFone.com. TracFone Wireless. Now you're in control.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Blick and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss 30 years of patching up people's cars and occasionally their relationships. Now, this month, as we celebrate 30 years of wasted hours on NPR, we're teasing out some of the themes that emerged in our show. And perhaps one of the reasons we got so many calls that were relationship questions masquerading as car questions is that, like all those monkeys with typewriters, you know, we would occasionally stumble onto some bit of actual wisdom. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Scott calling from Telluride, Colorado.
Scott!
Telluride!
How you doing, man?
Great. I've got a problem, though. Maybe you guys can help me solve a question I have.
Sure.
Unfortunately, I have to carpool with my wife to work.
Interesting.
Not by choice.
Uh-huh.
But when it snows out here and the roads get all ice-packed and full of snow, we drive together in our Ford pickup truck. Mm-hmm. And when we go home at night, I take it out of four-wheel drive. Yeah. Because otherwise, I'll probably get 5 miles a gallon.
Okay.
And she constantly tells me to leave it in four-wheel drive when we go home because it brakes better. Well, when we drive home and we're going downhill, I keep telling her it doesn't have anything to do with a four-wheel drive.
If you're slamming on the brake,
right,
it makes no difference whether you're...
So I can just leave it the way it is.
I think so.
Well, it depends on your relationship with your wife.
That's, well, you're right, more important consideration.
Yeah. I have my own law of marriage, and it is more important to be happy than to be right. Now, you may know that you're right. I mean, I'm always right. Whenever my wife and I have an argument, I'm always right. But being the clever fellow that I am, I never try to prove to her that I'm right. And she thinks that I'm a dummy because I'm always wrong. But she loves me.
Well, I'll tell you, everyone else thinks you're a dummy, too. You know, a little secret.
But see, I know, as long as I know that I'm always right, I don't have to tell her that. So I would keep my mouth shut if I were you, Scott.
Yeah,
okay. I mean, leave the thing in four-wheel drive. It's not hurting anything to stay in four-wheel drive. Let it be happy.
It does cut down on your mileage, and on smooth road, not smooth, but clean roads, you do not want to be in four-wheel drive. So if any large stretch of your drive is on clean roads, roads that are not snow and ice covered, you shouldn't be in four-wheel drive.
Okay, so here's the answer. This is a perfect win-win situation. You can explain to your wife. What's her name?
Carolyn.
You say, Carolyn, you know, I called Tom and Ray, and you won't believe this, but we're both right about this. Imagine that, because they told me that it should not be in four-wheel drive, but for a different reason.
Okay.
Not because of the braking, because it really doesn't make much difference to the braking, but it shouldn't be in four-wheel drive because you don't have good control if, in fact, there's no snow on the ground. So on clean road, so you're right, hon. You're right, hon. Trust me, you say that enough times, and you'll be happy.
Okay.
Yes, and practice saying this, yes, dear.
Yes, dear. Yes, dear is good, too.
Good luck, Scott.
Thanks a lot.
I'll be in divorce court in 6 months.
Yeah.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Doug from Ithaca, New York.
Oh, we don't speak to anyone named Doug.
Anymore.
What's up?
All right, here's my scoop.
Yeah.
I'm happily married, been married a long time. And my wife, she drives a van, and I drive a Volkswagen Golf with a manual transmission. Mm-hmm. Now, my wife cannot drive a stick shift, so she can't drive my car. And in fact, since we've known each other, we've never shared a vehicle.
That's the best way.
That's the best way? Well, okay, I'm getting to the point here.
Yeah.
Now, I'm very neat in my car. She is very neat everywhere except in her car. And she can tolerate a lot more mess than I can.
Yeah.
Well, we've discovered over the years that most...
Watch out!
This is merely an observation.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't mean to suggest anything by it, but most women's cars are a mess.
Wait, before he says, I want to distance myself from anything my brother says.
No, it's irrefutable. Most women's cars are a mess inside.
We have grandchildren, little kids who live near us, and so she's always carrying them around, and I'm amazed at the mess that accumulates in there sometimes, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Little kid stuff. I mean, I don't drive her car very often, but one time I hopped in, and the steering wheel was coated with felt like something sticky, like spilled soda, and I found melted ice cream and melted lipstick all over the engine cover.
Uh-huh.
So my question to you guys is, my Volkswagen Golf has... almost 200,000 miles on it.
You want to buy another one? You get two stick shifts if you can.
This is it, man. I mean, my wife suggested, wouldn't it be nice? She said, darling, wouldn't it be nice if the next vehicle had an automatic transmission so that I could help out on the driving on some of the long trips that we take? And that's very sweet
man.
Of her. But
I just want to say, I'm not going to give you any advice, and whatever you hear is coming from my brother Raymond. Raymond Francis Magliozzi is giving you all of the coming advice. I wouldn't touch that question with a 10-foot pole.
I'll have the courage to tell you, Doug. Get a stick shift. Don't let her near it. She's going to ruin it on you.
That's my inclination. I think that having an automatic would cause us marital stress.
Yeah.
Well, but how are you going to get out of it? What are you going to give her as a reason when you say, no, hon, you're too much of a slob?
No. Better mileage, more pickup. Oh,
is true.
It's cheaper.
My mental health?
Yeah, no, you're on your own on this one. I will say that. Yeah, because I have a funny feeling. I'm sinking in the quicksand. Throw me a rope, will you? Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, my wife recently was I was in her car. She was behind the wheel. And my wife had always had a pretty neat car. And I never really worried whether I drove her car or she drove mine, because she was, not that I'm a neatnik either, but we were relatively, we were on the same plane,
yeah.
You know? And I have...
Same slob rating.
Same
2.8.
Well, she is eating a candy bar or some such thing, and she takes the wrapper...
Tosses it over her shoulder
and says, power to the people! I said, what the hell is that all about?
Power to the people.
She said, I'm sick of being neat. I figured I was done for. You should see her car now. There's about 4 inches of junk on the floor in the back. So I've given up.
There are some delicate politics involved in this question, I think.
Here's what I would stick with if it were I giving advice, which I'm not giving, by the way.
Yeah, they don't sell it in automatic anymore, hon.
No, the stick shifting and the manliness aspect.
Right.
You're saying, hon, we've been married. I'm an old married guy now, and I've been emasculated in every possible way. The only thing left for my machismo is the stick shift. So I can get in the car and go vroom, 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 and use that thing and shift into all those gears. It's a manly thing. Please don't take this last piece of manliness away from me. Stick with that.
I like it.
Yeah, I would stick with that, too.
Okay, well, I'm going to give that some thought, and maybe that's what I'll do. Who knows?
All right, Doug.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Good luck. Bye. He's done for.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kim from Washington State.
Hi.
How are you?
What's the city or do you want to divulge?
Tacoma.
So what's up, Kim?
Well, I've listened to you guys enough to know that you're great marriage counselors.
Yes, indeed.
And so what I need to know, this has to do with cars, trust me, I need to know who was more stupid, me or my husband.
Uh-oh. Uh-huh. We don't use words like that, Kim.
Oh, you don't?
No.
How about idiot?
we'll get to that. You go ahead and tell us the problem, and we'll tell you the proper method of communication, because we've been in therapy on this for a long time.
Trying
to learn the lingo, you know what I mean? And the words moron and stupid are to be eschewed.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Great.
Give us the story.
My husband.
That moron. I'll put in the parentheses.
Right, he'll put in the parentheticals.
So the words don't come out of your mouth. My husband, that moron.
My husband, that blank.
Yeah.
Okay. He found a Lexus that was abandoned at the airport.
Oh.
And he decided, it was there for 3 years. I saw it too. Every time we flew out, there's that Lexus.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon it's got grass growing around it. It has a boot on it, you know, so nobody can steal it, right?
Really?
So he decides he has to have it, so he purchases the Lexus.
From whom?
From the bank.
Ah.
Because the guy that abandoned it never made a payment on it and quit paying the airport.
Okay, so he owed the bank $22,000 and the parking lot, he owed them $19,500.
Okay. And they made a deal.
Right.
They made a deal. But I was concerned about the car because of what he found in the car.
Mm.
What he found was bolt cutters and shoe covers and one of those key punch things, you know, that you punch out the lock of a car.
Oh. Yes.
And he found the dome light was disconnected, and then the lights on the doors were taped over.
So whoever was using this car was using it to in some nefarious enterprise.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm feeling like we need to go in witness protection.
So does he have this car now?
Oh, God, yes, he has the car.
Did he get it running?
Of course.
It's running.
And it runs well.
It runs well.
And but you're worried that it has...
I want it out of our sight.
Yeah, it has dragon tracks, as the Chinese say.
It's just got bad vibes.
You ain't just...
Well, how much did he pay for it, all told?
Well, see, here's where you guys are going to think that he's not so dumb. He paid $4,000 for it.
He's a genius!
Really? Between the bank and the parking place and getting the boot removed? What a... deal. The guy's a genius.
Oh, shoot.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, Kim, before you go on, that this is every guy's dream.
Oh, God.
It is. I mean, there's nothing better. I mean, I guess women don't respond to this like guys do, but there's something euphoric about getting something for nothing. I mean, he practically got the car for nothing.
Oh,
and men are somehow susceptible to these, you won't believe this, you know, the too good to be true thing. I mean, there were years and years and years in which guys would show up at kinds of auctions, government auctions,
right,
where they were expecting to get a complete Jeep.
Albeit in pieces.
In a crate for $50 left over from World War II. And
when those ran out, they were going to sell them the Jeeps from World War I.
And you can't believe the millions of men who showed up for these things because they believed this to be true.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first Million Man March, actually.
They were all going to was it the government? It was the post office, because someone had mailed a few hundred thousand of these Jeeps in crates.
It's no surprise that your husband succumbed to the lure of this Lexus. He couldn't help himself because in his mind, this was the Jeep that he never got when he was 17.
He became quite obsessed.
So yeah. I hope you can understand it in that context.
Okay.
That doesn't mean he is not a moron.
Yeah.
But it's almost redundant to call him a moron because he's a guy.
There you go. I thought this was
going to
be easy.
Yeah, no.
No. But I do agree with you that there are certain dragon tracks associated with this car.
Yeah.
But you may be able to visit someone to get them removed.
The dragon tracks.
Yeah.
He had it detailed last.
I don't think detailers do that. Yeah, they do your white walls and the dragon tracks.
Dragon tracks, that's a different department.
I'm afraid to tell you what I did because now you're going to say I'm a complete idiot.
Oh.
I haven't even told you my part.
Go ahead.
What I bought.
Oh.
I know what you bought. You bought the whole Ginsu knife set.
No, it's not that dumb.
My wife did the same thing.
He goes into the garage and he glances over at what I bought, and then I have no argument.
Oh, you bought a car?
Yeah.
I got it.
Okay.
A Hummer.
No. I bought a 1966 Volkswagen camper van.
Oh, man.
Well, look, if you dump this guy, call us. We'll marry you.
Oh, you are so
clever. Those are cool.
Was it in great shape?
It's in perfect shape.
Oh,
it's
man.
Beautiful.
I have to say, I came very, very close recently to buying one.
Yeah.
And he also came very close at the same time to being divorced.
Again.
But enjoy. Well, I don't think. I mean, I certainly side with you on your move. I think. I think you did a wise thing.
Yeah.
Drive it carefully because it's a dangerous vehicle.
But
as long as you use it judiciously.
I do.
And you wear an NFL-approved football helmet when you drive it, and knee pads. You'll be all right.
Well, in answer to my question, then.
What was the question? Was there a question?
Who was the stupidest?
Oh, he was, obviously, because he just bought a Lexus. You bought a legend.
Oh, I love that line. That's worth needle points.
Kim, it's been a pleasure talking to you for the last 45 minutes. And maybe we can do this again sometime.
Thank you.
See you later.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Well, she made my day.
Well, it's happened again. You vaporized another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive. Bongo Boy. But he just can't shake that Bongo Boy image.
It's so perfect.
Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green and Catherine Fraublucher-Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Santorini, stuffed zucchini, clam linguine, fettuccine, cheese panini, cocktail weenie, dry martini, luncheoncini, is John Bugsy Lawler. A little poetic license there. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our loss prevention associate is Natasha DeMerchandise. Our staff urologist is Pete Shadil. Our repo agent is Carmine Now. Our cruise activity planner is Eaton Doolittle. Our practical joke evaluator is Odessa Goodwin. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the pigeons, looking for someone else's Wi-Fi signal in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, don't drive like my brother.
That's what I said. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at CarTalk.com. Also this week at CarTalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway.
Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham and Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR's marching band forms a huge SOS at the 50-yard line whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.